Okay, we're joined in studio now by Dr. Ripu Singh and Dr. Mohammed Al Brer. Both of you, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate your time in calling in to see us. We're speaking ahead of the opening of a new medical centre, a medical private clinic. Dr. Ripu, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, yeah, I was working in emergencies for the last 15 years with multiple, many countries. And here in Letterkenny, working for the last 8 years in an emergency department as a senior doctor. And out of our services, so we come up like, when we see the patients, it's overcrowded everywhere. Every service is overcrowded. So we start to bring some kind of alternative. So that's how.
Were you frustrated in your role at Letterkenny University Hospital?
Not at all. I enjoyed that job. I was loving it.
Dr. Mohammed, what's your background?
Originally, I'm from Sudan and partially from England. My background started when I graduated back home in Sudan and started with Doctor Organization for Peace and Development, which will give me the opportunity to travel most of country over the world and see different approach to different kind of patients. Since I came to Ireland here, I work with the emergency department. I started kindly. They gave me the offer to join the team. Really, I enjoy working with them. And I moved out of our doctors and most of the private and HCC practice, GP practice, which I've been exposed to whole community like the emergency out of our and the GP practice for the past nearly 2 years now here.
Okay. And talk to me what services Dr. Ripu will be provided at this. Firstly, where will you be located and how will the public have access to the service?
Yeah, that's we are on Port Road in the center of the Letterkenny. Port Road, and the access is very simple. It's a, not a big town. Plus, online, we have a website, letterkennymedics.ie, and we have a phone numbers on our website. Anyone can contact us anytime with 3-4 phone numbers there. People can book the appointments direct on the website. Booking is direct by anyone. We are open from 10 to 10, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the appointments, like, whatever time suits you.
Mm-hmm. So it's 7 days a week or 5 days a week?
7 days a week.
7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously at the moment people have some frustrations in access to GPs, for example, or indeed they might find themselves at the emergency department and they may not need to be there. Do you know what I mean? So what will you be able to, what calls will you be able to deal with? What kind of diagnostics do you have?
Yes, so we can, as per if you see some side of urgent care, we can deal with the minor injuries, foreign body to the eyes, ears, all these kind of things that, like you said, that people think that they don't need to be in emergency, but they need somewhere urgent after GP is closed.
Catheterization, home visit, any kind of area and like stop bleeding, suturing, such kind of emergency or immediate needs, which is not emergency, which is
so
urgent, but
is it
not
perhaps
emergency.
More likely? I don't want to compare you to another service, but perhaps more likely calls that you might make to NowDoc outside GP hours, but also the GP work. Is that the kind of calls we're talking of? So in other words, a child's got a temperature, the GP's closed, right? And it's hitting 39, 40, and you're worried in that moment, say if it's during the day and you want to get seen during the day. That all, I'm trying to cover everything, exclude things. That's the type of call as well.
Our office at Port Road, which we're starting with, it's welcome to whole public to attend at any time for emergency. Okay. You don't need to go to the website. You don't need. It's walking. You can come in with this kind of high temperature, nebulization, struggle to breathe. Something we can see immediately. We don't need to go and wait and triage by other professions. This it will be seen by a doctor immediately, and it will be triaged by a doctor immediately, and will be acted immediately by us. We welcome children, elderly, any kind of we can immediate. That's what the idea come from, because to see me at any kind of practice or now, doc, you need a couple of good hours to come and see me. However, I will see you immediately, and we will act immediately to respond.
would you become someone's GP effectively? We're going to have to talk about cost, but you know there are people who are dissatisfied with their GP or they can't get seen or what have you. This is not a criticism of GPs or to pitch you against GPs. We know they're doing fantastic work for the most part in very difficult circumstances, but I'm trying to figure out the relationship between...
Definitely no doubt they are very busy.
Yeah.
And we can see like they are overcrowded, like all the GPs here. But like, we are a private service. Patient can stay with the GP, register with the GP, but we can see that same patient.
Mm-hmm. We're not replacing the GP.
Yeah. No, that's what I wanted to check.
No, we are not replacing. They can continue with the GP. If they want to see us, they can see us anytime.
It's not like a competition or we are GP or now doc or emergency. No, we are providing service for the public.
Yeah.
And we welcome everyone. And our relationship, I am a GP, I am an emergency doctor. We enjoy our work with all parties, and we're still working with these premises and this organization.
It's a kind of alternate pathway we are just bringing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and we saw this kind of thing is going on in the big cities.
It almost feels a little bit like the fast lane.
Yes, that's
a lot of stuff. Okay, so you're in the same airport.
Yeah.
And but respect the other lanes, but there is a potentially a fast lane. Can we talk about cost? How much is a visit or?
The cost is not far from the national cost, but we're targeting mainly private and non-private sector. But for people like you and like me working from 9 to 5, we have no place to go other than our office. We open till 10 o'clock. That means you are welcome to our service, which is very affordable as well. Yes, our price is different from the national prices or the local prices, but this is not for the... or we want to sell high or want to know because of the equipment we use, the time we use, and everything around us is we provide at least 30 minutes per
And presumably this has to this is a long-term plan because there's I presume there's a considerable investment from you and those supporting you, so this has to work long-term.
No support, like we are providing everything by ourselves.
Okay. So it, you know,
finance ourselves.
It's very much in your interest for this to be very successful into the long term, I'd imagine.
We have a big team working with us, all national Irish-based companies and Irish-based organization. We have a plan to go up to nearly a hospital admission system.
Wow.
Port Road is just a start. We have the capacity of a huge number of doctors will join us, include consultants and non-consultants to join us the team. But Port Road is only been approached or planned for only 6 months. It's still Port Road will be working, but we will go for the next step and plus next step. It's been funded by me and Reba at the beginning, but of course we need other parties.
Yeah. Why did you decide to do this now and here?
Like we saw in the big cities, in Ireland, this kind of service is running very well for the last 1 to 2 years. And we, like for 8 years, I'm here in Letterkenny. Dr. Mohammed joined here together. So we like this place. Like 8 years, now like my family, they feel that this is their home. I'm from India, but they feel that this is their home. I don't want to move out from the Letterkenny.
I brought my family from the UK to Donegal here, and I never thought to build a practice for myself in Sudan or even in England, which we felt the community very welcoming to us here and very kind and very, very, very attractive to know us more and to give us the appreciation, which I've been appreciated by many, many, many patients, which is give me and Rebu the power to go for this step.
So if you have private health insurance, and a lot of people don't take it up here because they don't think they can. There's a value in that, really. Does private health insurance pay for a visit to you guys?
Well, you know, so far we don't have any direct contact with any insurance company.
It hasn't been established yet as such.
Not yet. But we can give the receipt, and anyone can claim back from their insurance company. Plus our system that we are providing, we have a computer system in our clinic. We have access to all the hospitals of Ireland. We can, any insurance company, we can refer the patient according to the insurance to that hospital, private hospital or anything.
About do you need to, we talked about the difference between this being a GP service or what have you. Do people need to register with you or is that advantageous to register with you?
This is a very good question because the public most of just confused about what is Port Road, the private clinic going on. And as I mentioned before, we are not replacing GP. Still, you will be registered with your GP practice. Still, you will attend your GP practice. However, we have our unique registration form, which you can join our private clinic as the same you will join your, you will be with your GP. No attraction and no any kind of, like we say, oh, we need to transfer your file. We will build your file with us as a private. You can attend whenever you attend. You have the right to go to see your GP, to go to emergency department, to go to now doc. All these parties welcome, and we welcome all the...
I presume people will use the service for second opinions. People always like second opinions. Yeah. I imagine
and
that
register
would be...
is very simple. It's on our website. Anyone wants to register or book, this is on letterkinemedics.ie.
I know you are very keen to work, you know, that this supplements the hospital and supplements existing GPs. And the GPs are maxed out anyway, so I'm not sure what you would be taking from them. But do you get the feeling that GPs and the hospital are pleased with this development?
Well, let's see, because...
We will announce, actually, we'll invite all the GPs and all the consultants in the hospital to pronounce our service. From what we can see, we have a friend of mine's GPs, which we're known in the area. Mm. They're visiting us and they're communicating with us very well. We're communicating with them very well. We are not compete with anyone. We just make the life easy for the public.
And again, listen, I this is the nature of this program. I have to ask questions. Yeah. As you expand, the hospital, as you would know, is already struggling to recruit consultants for various reasons.
Yes.
You will be competing for those same people. As I say, you know, I know you don't want to get controversial, but I have to ask these types of questions. Yeah. I mean, some people might have that concern that this could make recruitment or retention, for that matter, at Letterkenny University Hospital more difficult.
No, so far, that plan is very far. Like, it's still, we are not concentrating on that thing. So we cannot talk about that at this stage.
But it's in the pipeline, okay.
Yes.
It's in the pipeline and we have...
We don't know the situation after 3 to 5 years, what's going to happen.
So. We have a support from different country as well. We have a good relationship national-wise. Our X-ray in place now, ready to be established. Our lab is ready to be established. The doctors available, but it's just we need to wait for the next step.
And more so, we can't have a competition with Letterkenny University Hospital. That's a big hospital, and it's not a competition.
No, I know that, but I want to ask
community, not for.
I wanted to ask a question that might be texting after you leave, and if I ask it now, it means that you have an opportunity to answer. So a caller wants to know, at this point, will you be doing procedures or it's just diagnostics really as such?
No, minor surgeries like cyst removals.
Skin tags.
Skin tags, cyst removal, toenails removals, these kind of minor surgeries.
I'm introducing something new in the county here, even I think about 40, 50, 60 mile or more from Donegal here, like weight management. We established the weight management here. And plus of that, the cardiac screening, we have a backing for the cardiac screening. It's preventable medicine more than the treatable as a clinic. Guess we want to prevent the worst to happen.
It's funny you should say that, because even today there is a campaign launched talking about the gaps in our cardiac care and a huge proportion of lives lost. It's the biggest killer.
Yes, definitely.
Are actually preventable.
We receive many actually, calls in respect to
main aim. Our main aim is a preventive medicine. Okay, for the treatment, everyone is here. University Hospital is here. GPs are here. Not okay, but we want to do some diagnostics, like preventive kind of things too.
All right. Okay. It's something new. People will probably text in and say, "Do you think in some time in the future you might have a satellite?" In Inishowen or West Donegal, or does the business model work based in the population centre?
No, depend how we go, because till now we get a good response from the community.
Uh-huh.
Since we start our website and our Facebook page, we are getting a good response. So most probably we can have a satellite like surrounding Donegal.
It's new to Donegal.
That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. And we're encouraging other doctors as well to do this step. It's quite scary to start such an approach to the public. However, we very confident to provide our service and very confident for our service. However, we're encouraging other doctors to just do the same step, to just to relieve the demand in the county.
No, but like 3 to 4 months, we can have some
satellites
in Bumkrana side or Donegal town side. Right. That's what our aim is.
Well, it's the reason we brought you in, because it potentially is altering, not changing, but altering the medical landscape. Well, it's not insignificant. No. This is something. It's a commercial enterprise, of course. We understand that, but this is—it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and where it goes from here.
More so, we are not a business people, or we are not a company. We are doctors, and end of the day, we are doctors. So for us, the money always comes second. Mm. If we have a patient in front of us, we'll concentrate on the patient.
How many staff will you launch with?
We have a good baseline of doctor. We have starting the Port Road. Only by myself, Muhammad, Dr. Muhammad, and Dr. Ripu, because we need to put our practice in the quality we need. We're looking for 30 minutes to 1 hour consultation.
Right, okay.
We will not go below our quality. That means we have recruiting, and we will go for the same practice, because this is how the medicine should be, the consultation. It should be 10 minutes to listen to your patient, 10 minutes to examine, and 10 minutes to prescribe. What happening after COVID here is only allow you 10 minutes to see your patient. Even I cannot see my computer in front of me to practice my medicine. Mm. No, we will provide the 30 minutes. We will ensure the 30 minutes to be always there. And like the weight management, we provide an hour to just have a time to speak to the patient, explain, to collect the blood, to do all this stuff. Mm. We can collect blood. We'll do the screening. But it's all around the quality of the business. If we find the doctor quality and provide the quality, we'll recruit them now, right away.
Right, okay. Well, the public can make up their own minds up, and I'm sure they will. Letterkennymedics.ie. And there's a phone number here as well, 07492029 55. And doors open March 1st.
Tomorrow morning.
Well, we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you.
It's something new and significant, I think, because we'll see how it all plays out. Dr. Ripu Singh, Dr. Mohammed Elbrair, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
And take care of yourselves. Thank you. All right, staying with health, Michael Kavanagh joins us on the programme now. Michael, how are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Thanks for taking the call.
No, it's good to have you on, Michael.
As I said in my text, everyone would have heard, saved by the bell, but in my case, I was saved by a watch that my children bought me for Christmas. I always would have been a very active person. I'm a retired fisherman, but I never had any issues with breathlessness or chest pains or anything. But 2 weeks ago today, the watch that I was given for Christmas started alarming maybe every 15, 20 minutes, telling me my heart rate was below 40. That actually, for the average on a Tuesday, was 36 beats per minute. And I'm certainly no athlete, so the next morning, my daughter-in-law is a doctor and my daughter is a nurse, and they, between them, agree that I needed to go and get checked out. So
now you were not before we get to that. Like you said, historically you had no issues, thankfully. But even as your heart was beating really slow, did you have any breathlessness, lightheadedness, any pains at all? So it was only the watch notifying you of the low BPMs that was the flag, really.
I had absolutely no symptoms.
Wow!
And my daughter took me into the health centre in Mobile to get an ECG. But before I go in, because I had a bad cough, I had to be tested for COVID, which I tested positive for. So then we went to Letterkenny, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, I was taken into the ED, and the doctor asked me, have you got any pain? I said, no pain, no pressure in my chest, no headaches. And he did another ECG and did more blood tests, and he came back and he says, have you got much pain now? I says, none whatsoever. Well, what are you doing here? And I says, I'm here because a Christmas present brought me here. I says, my heart rate is telling me is very low. And he says, your heart rate is very low. And they kept monitoring during the night. At 6 o'clock in the morning, a Dr. Abdul came in and he says, I've heard the story of the watch. Now I want to hear it from you. He says, right now you're fine, but during the night you were far from fine. You had a total heart block.
Wow.
and I was admitted into the ward on the Thursday morning. And on the Sunday night, again, I had a total heart block. And on the Tuesday, I had an angiogram. And then Dr. David, who performs the procedure, he said to me, you're going to be fitted with a permanent pacemaker. But I have three narrowings in different parts of the arteries in the heart. But he said they're narrow arteries, so to put stents in would narrow it further, so they were going to treat it with medication. And they had sent all my details to St. James's in Dublin. So I came home on Thursday evening last with a pacemaker in, and I'm on medication now, cholesterol tablets and an aspirin for to get the blood right. So,
had it not been
for the watch, I wouldn't have had a clue at that problem.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Michael. Yeah. It sounds to me like, and I don't want to be dramatic, this was a ticking time bomb.
I could have literally gone to sleep and wake up on the other side, whatever is waiting on the other side. I had no symptoms, absolutely no symptoms. And I said to the doctor, the first doctor that was with me, I didn't quite catch his name, after he had done a couple of tests and they came back and asked me, had I got pain now? I said to him, you look confused.
Mm.
He says, well, your heart's going very slow. But, you know, thankfully, I got a great gift for Christmas. And had it not been for it, I wouldn't have known. You know?
And I didn't know it alerted actually with a slow heart rate. That's pretty amazing. And Michael, now with the pacemaker in and the drugs, you're not a candidate for stints, if you outlined. Has your heart rate increased?
Oh, it has. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
you're back up to
more. It's up now where it should be, but it had been fluctuating quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, and dropping way down, but you know.
Wow.
I am not allowed to drive for a couple of weeks now, and I'm not supposed to work for 2 months, but I think that's pushing the barriers a bit.
And come here, did your daughter-in-law, was she behind the purchase of the watch, or is this all just a bit of a happy coincidence in terms of someone else in the family got the watch? Like, did they buy you that watch for convenience or as a health monitor, I wonder?
Well, it was my youngest daughter, who is a nurse, wanted to get it for me. And her brother said, it's a waste of time and waste of money. You'll never use it. But, you know.
This is why no one listens to fellas.
Only the week before that I programmed in the health part of it.
Mm.
And I found it interesting earlier on. You were talking about elderly people not wanting to use modern technology, which I'm no...
Perfect example.
It's a long time since I get my back teeth, you know, yeah. I'm 72.
But, you see, what I said, Michael, is that some do not want to. Like I know lots of people, my father was amongst them and older than you. He was on the tablet, he was on the phone, everything like that there. But there are those, and it's not even technology. They just prefer to use cash. But listen, technology is the reason why you and I are speaking, Michael. Remarkable, and I think you had the doctors baffled as to how you weren't suffering any pain or anything. But amazingly, this watch flagged your slow heart rate.
They couldn't understand that I didn't have pain, and I never had pain. None whatsoever. No pressure, no headaches. I would have literally gone to sleep, which would have been great for me, but it wouldn't have been so nice for my family. You know?
Okay, right, I get you.
Thank God for modern technology. And when I have the opportunity now, I would really like to thank Dr. David for his skills and for the staff and for the way I was treated in Letterkenny and the cardiac care unit. You know, it was first class. Really, really, really nice people, you know.
Lovely to be able
and
to see.
And to all those who have been our local PP and another man that I go to the men's shed, there's a priest there, Father John, and Father Paul Duggan, and my very good friend, Father John Joe Duffy, all of them saying masses and friends and neighbours praying, you know.
Another listener says, sorry, I don't want to talk over that because that was an important statement. You do believe prayers move mountains, I think is what you're saying. This listener says, me too. I got a watch 3 years ago. I got a low heart rate, low SpO2, diagnosed Bradycardia. I'm not sure if that's a typo, if that's what it's called. They're now on thinners for the rest of the life. It's shocking. And you can get watches now. The Samsung 3 and 4 have ECG monitors in them, blood pressure monitors in them. It's amazing what can be on your wrist. But in your case, as you said right from the get-go, normally it's saved by the bell. This time it was saved by a watch. A remarkable, remarkable story, Michael. And I'm so pleased that you are... I think your concerns of your health now have switched to frustration at maybe being limited for the next month or two, if I'm reading the situation correctly. You're mad to get going again.
Once I get a few weeks over me, I'll be doing a half hour and 20 minutes. You know, I'll be back to normal, please God.
Michael, listen, I'm delighted to hear this. Thanks so much for sharing this news. And I'll tell you... It's not like the old days where you have to charge these watches every half day or something. The battery lasts a good long time. And from a health perspective, this has definitely been a lifesaver, I think, because you weren't displaying the regular signs. You were grand. So delighted with this news, Michael. And thanks so much for sharing it with us, and continued good health to you now. Okay, you're welcome back to the programme, and we're delighted to welcome on to it the voice and face of the GAA in Ireland, Marty Morrissey. Marty, thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. Nice to be here. I'm making my debut in Highland Radio, and I have to say, I had my sat-nav on in the car, and what a beautiful place to have your radio station.
It certainly is.
Oh,
in person,
gorgeous.
But we spoke to you some time ago, and I think actually it was quite soon before you lost your mother.
My mom.
Condolences to you.
Thank you, Greg.
In that, because when I heard that news, I was speaking to you, as I say, I think it was about a week beforehand. And
yes.
Obviously, you were so full of
happiness,
life.
Yes,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just how,
Christmas coming.
Just how things can change so quickly.
Yeah, very, very quickly, unfortunately, and heartbreaking and very sad. And it is, I found last year a little bit difficult. You kind of, yourself from doing what you're doing when the red light goes on, you kind of try and perform.
But it's waves, isn't it?
It is
you're
waves.
You're okay at a moment, and then
correct.
In the next you're in the depth.
Yeah, I have to admit now that we're talking about it. I mean, I found November, December a little bit hard because my dad died in 2004 on the 19th of December. And we, as a family, we always love Christmas, like I think. But when you lose both your parents at Christmas time, it's and the jingle jangle, and
of course,
and everybody's you think everybody else is having a great time. Yeah. But there's I still love Christmas, and I found it a little bit hard. But it was funny. I got a bit of strength after Christmas, and I seem to be in a better place now. Oh, anyway, good. You know. So that's,
and the
that's
thing
a good
about
thing.
Loss and bereavement, it affects us all differently, and affects families
100%,
differently, and we just have to work our own way through it, don't we?
Yeah, but, and I mean, if what I find now is like my home place is on the Wild Atlantic Way. I mean, if you're going from Lahinch and West Clare down to Kilkeer, down to Kerry, you'd pass my house. You know, we're right on the side of the road. So I remember when my mother was alive, she kept saying, so many cars and nobody calling. Because all you hear is zoom, 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 and they all going down to the car ferry for Killeen or Tarbert. So I would love I think it's a complaint that I think a lot of people have. We need to call into each other a lot more and visit turn off the TV. I know I work in the bloody business, but it's, you know, sometimes switch it off.
I think there's a time and a place, and it's not all the time and everywhere either.
Yeah.
Pubs, for example.
Yeah, absolutely.
80 screens. If I go into it for a drink, you know, I mean, obviously there can be a sporting event or what have you, but sometimes you want to switch off from it, don't you?
Yeah, and it's great to talk. Like we are here, you know, so... but anyway, look,
are great conversationists, the Irish. It's just a case of making sure we don't lose that, isn't it? But I referenced that conversation the last time I spoke to you for another reason. And I think at that stage, this was in the planning stages? Because talking about the bit of a... fun they have with you on Callan's Kicks.
Yes,
and,
correct.
I think you were talking that something may be coming from that, and now here we are.
Yeah, well, this was kind of, I suppose, like a little seed that was growing in my head for quite some time. I mean, I never thought about doing it, but like when you have, I remember being, we opened up a field in my parish a couple of years ago, I suppose 2017 or thereabouts, I'd say, and... we were out, in fairness now, Greg, we were out until 3 in the morning. And we were having a great session in the bar, but when I came, it has no signal. We're talking about phones and everything else. It had no signal. So when I came out, I got about 200 texts saying, oh, looking well on the Late Late Show. And I'm here in a small pub in the middle of nowhere in West Clare. And I said, what? And I kept going through all these texts. and saying, oh, you look unsharp, you look different, but you look fine. And it was Mario Rosenstock basically taking the piss out of me on the Late Late Show with Ryan Tuberty. And then Oliver Callan was outside Croke Park with his pink shirt and white teeth and hair all over the place. And instead of saying Marty Morris, the RT News at Croke Park, it was, hi, I'm Marty and I like to party. So then Dancing with the Stars came, and Anna Geary decided to, because we did Diarmaid Kane and we had Jay Carter and Bernard O'Shea and all that gang, Rob Heffernan, and it was great fun. But when we got together, she put up a WhatsApp group called the Marty Party, and the tabloids, the newspapers loved it. So it kind of, and everywhere I went, whether it be to a match in Donegal and Ballybuffet or to a hurling match in Kilkenny, they wouldn't want to talk about hurling or football. They want to talk about, hey, Marty, do a couple of steps.
How did that make you feel, though? Because, you know, I mean, you love the sport, right? It's probably your first love.
Yes,
you know,
it would be, yeah.
Right? But then, is there a line to walk to retain your credibility or your authenticity in that, but at the same time embrace the sort of that other part of you as well? Do you know what I mean? That would be, and I think maybe because of your popularity and because you've been in the public eye for so long, maybe it's slightly easier for you to do that than it might be for someone 5 years into their career.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, I mean, I probably wouldn't have done this 10 years ago, but I think, you know, I mean, sport of the GAA primarily is my first love and first passion. But at the same time, I've also learned, and you mentioned mom, but I think COVID as well, you also got to embrace life, you know?
Sure.
And I don't like the idea of being just boxed off in one area and said, well, that's him, as you would be, I'm sure, Greg, being boxed off in your box. Mm-hmm. So I've always tried to expand, always, and do different things. So it's kind of, do you know what? I'm kind of embracing it and saying, life is short. You never know what's coming around tomorrow. We go for it.
When I heard about the Marty Party, what I imagined, and it would have been good, and you've probably done it in the past and might in the future, whereby it would be sports-centric. You'd maybe have a few characters on, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Up on a stage. And,
yes.
And then there might be some. But you've got this, which, as I say, that in itself would have been fine. This is full party, at least for Donegal anyway. I presume it's actually a Marty party. There's not going to be any Trey's description acts in encroachments here.
No, not at all. We're giving it the full whack because I believe in it. And it's also an opportunity for artists to get back in and get you know, get it back on the stage, because they can sing and they can dance. We've had I did two shows last summer to test the water, because it's been a concept that's in my head, and the only way I can describe it is it's a variety show, an old fashioned variety
live
show with a 21st century twist. So you know, we did it in Drogheda and we did it in Wexford, and between the two venues we got 1100 people, and I got a great kick out of it because people hadn't a clue what they were going to. And nor do we have a clue what we were doing. So you put the two together and you have a lethal cocktail. So in Killarney now, in the IVSC there a couple of weeks ago, we got close to 700. And in the Royal Theatre Castlebar, we had 550. So there is an appetite, I think, for something a little bit different. And this is different. I don't think there's anything like this in Ireland at the moment.
Has there been any talk about this being televised? A show?
No.
Because I'm looking at it here, and with all due respect, right, okay, some of the shows that are on RTE currently at the moment, it does feel like, you know, it's RTE interviewing itself. You does seem a replication of guests. And then we're out in the regions here, right, and this is where the point I'm getting to. There's amazing talent all over this country. You're tapping into it here, and you're putting on a proper variety show here. I'm not trying to get you to criticise The Late Late, don't get me wrong. And then I watched that. If this was televised,
yes.
But you were also taking talent from Galway and, you know, all the different parts of the world. Like, I just feel sometimes it can be hard. Like, you're this Honor, isn't it?
Honor, yeah.
Honor, right? I mean, they're going to be absolutely massive.
They are,
right?
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting them first because you're out and about and you're seeing your team. Do you know?
Correct.
I'd love to see that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see more of these people backed on the national stage as well, not just in particular one-offs here and there. Do you get where at the point? I'm trying to be constructive.
No, you are being very constructive. And I hear what you're saying. I mean, I am from this stock, this culture. I just happen to be down the road 100 miles. And I know, I kind of have my finger on the pulse, I hope, in the sense that I'm out there. And I like going to country western. I like the jiving, but I also like dancing a set. Now, I might be very good at it, as you saw on TV a couple of years ago, but that was a different type of dance. But it is, this to me, is the heartbeat of Ireland, because what we have is we've dancing, we've music, we've a few laughs. You put the whole and that is, in my opinion, Ireland. So what I'm trying to do is bring a little bit of the talent that is there nationally, but I also want to highlight the local talent.
Yeah, and there's nostalgia there as well. There's modern.
100%.
But there's nostalgia there. Mm. You have Onor, as we mentioned.
I heard about Onor from a friend of mine lately, and I, there are four lads from Donegal, and this was part of what I did in Kerry and in Mayo. I want to highlight one or two acts from the region and to give them a platform. And Onor, I can tell you, are going to be joining me on my own radio show on St. Patrick's Day. Because I saw them, on, I Googled them, I did a lot of research, I Googled them and I saw The Parting Glass and I said, God, that resonates big time. And I think Onor are going to be huge, to be honest with you.
So
I
you're
agree
going
with
to
you.
Be for Onor what Dave Fanning was for you too, is that the
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but anyway, I'm a fan already. Okay. And I'm so, and they're coming to Limerick and they're coming to Galway and then we'll end up in Letterkenny on the 31st.
Bernard O'Shea's.
Bernard O'Shea, my old friend from dancing.
I used to enjoy him on the radio with Keith Walsh.
Keith Walsh, that's right. And Jennifer, yeah,
that Jennifer as well, of course. So he's there with you as well.
We also have Raymond Sweeney's.
Yeah, you go through it. You go.
We have Raymond Sweeney's Rialta dance. I don't have all the list. You have it there.
Yeah.
And I again, I believe they're outstanding, and I'm looking forward to having them with us. The Eurovision winners. I love rock and roll kits.
It is, and classic.
And you know, over the years, I got to know Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan, and so they're going to join us. There's a group of young boys, young men, I should say, and during COVID, they rented a house in Doolin down my way. In the Burn, and they were brilliant dancers, and they started doing all these steps, and their videos went viral. Mm. They ended up on Good Morning America, dancing from the Cliffs of Moher, and they ended up in the White House as well with President Joe Biden. So they're coming with
huge
me to...
Huge on TikTok, though.
They're huge on Absolutely TikTok. Huge. Yes, you know your stuff, Greg.
Oh, wow.
Some fella called David James, have you ever heard of him?
No.
No, I
hear he's overrated, though.
I heard that, too, but I'm going to give him a chance to kind
Hold
of shine.
Hold on, Caroline's given out to him. He's young... Right, he's got hair, good looking, and he works here. What do you expect me to say?
Yeah.
Jealousy.
He's not performing at all. We're cancelling him. The two lads in the studio are cancelling poor David James.
No, and he was on the T.G. Cahir show there, and his act won. So it's great to see
great stuff.
His career going from strength to strength, but also for you to recognise that these are the kind of guys you want to get behind.
Correct, exactly. So it's a combination of all this. I have Kill, who are Nathan Carter's prodigies, a group that performed the Rose of Tralee. They're doing it as well. And the Galway Tenors are a group of three lads who have been with me. We've done various gigs and they just bring the house down. But you're also going to win a chance to win flights to Europe from Shannon Airport. That's the local thing. So I'm afraid Donegal people have to go to Shannon to fly out.
Right.
Don't think they'll mind.
Not too bad. If you give me the tickets, I'll make it to Shannon.
There'll be holidays. We have holiday vouchers. Yeah. Ashford Castle will come along and give me a weekend away. So we'll have little prizes and we'll have a bit of fun.
So where's the Marty in all of this then?
Dead smack in the middle of it all, acting the fool.
Yeah.
And having the crown, giving out the prizes. Myself and Bernard to a double act, sorry, Greg.
Yeah, sorry.
And we kind of, I introduce everything and we have, it's kind of...
You and him kind of bounce off each other.
But I mean, he does a bit. But it's mainly, I like to kind of meet the audience and meet the people and have the crack. And we have a mystery guest, by the way, to win the prize, the flights from Shannon to any European destination, we'll have a mystery guest. So we distort his or her voice. During the day or the week before, and then we show it on the night and we'll give out cards and then the mystery guest will appear on the stage and he or she will pick out the winner and you win your two flights from Shannon.
Right, this is the show in Donegal for the first time ever. It's in the Clanry Hotel, Letterkenny, the 31st of March. How many of these shows are you doing? Like, do you see this being almost like painting a massive bridge? By the time we get to one end, it's time to start painting the other end. In other words, do you think you'll keep this on the road for the foreseeable?
I think so, to be honest, Greg. I mean, it depends on the reaction we got. Yeah. We got a very good reaction in Kerry and Mayo. I'm only doing five. The next one is Friday week in University Concert Hall in Limerick. Then on the 25th of March, I'm in Galway with Leisureland and Sharon Shannon is going to join me there.
Lovely.
And then the last show is the Clanry Hotel here in Letterkenny.
And right, so the rehearsals will be done.
Yes, before we, correct. You'll notice I knew where I was going and where the climax would be. And after that, I'm being honest, there's no plans, although I'm amazed at the reaction that we're getting, to be honest with you. I'm amazed that people who I don't know with various venues around the country are ringing me or emailing me saying, could you bring your show to this?
Have we a variety show on Irish TV?
I don't think so.
We don't feel we have to cut in the issue of the day, or, you know, we don't have to have, you know, long, protracted, meaningful interviews. I'm on about where people just get up on stage, bang out a bit of entertainment, off you go.
Yeah.
Throw in a prize.
Not really.
When you think of, like, you're backing these people, and I think we're in the same space here. I just love to see the people getting backed. I would just love to see this as an entertainment show as well.
Like, it's not The X Factor or it's not Britain Got Talent.
No, these are established acts.
But these are established acts and they're absolutely outstanding. But where do they go to go further? So what I saw as a concept was to mix the ones who are like the Eurovision winners, let's just say Paul and Charlie. And then you have a great young star like David James, who I know is here with you. And you have the Railta dancers and you have now Unore. And why not provide a platform? It's only one night.
100%.
And it'll hopefully get a good crowd. It'll get a bit of traction, I hope, for them as much as for us. And win-win would be my okay. Like, I found a choir, the Heroes for Hospice Choir in Castlebar. I don't know if they're going to come to Letterkenny, but I have to tell you, they're outstanding. And they never get it, apart from musical theatre. So there's a bit of musical theatre, there's a bit of country western. Shauna McStravick is coming from Tyrone to join us. So when you go to Ed Sheeran, and I love Ed Sheeran, and you get 3 hours of Ed Sheeran, but in this show you'll get 10 minutes of everybody, or 15 minutes, whatever it is, and then they're gone. And I think that is the way, in this, for the moment, I think that's something that could develop and expand. And whether or not we do any more after this, we'll just have to get the reaction of all the various people, including the people at Donegal.
Well, I can't see how it can't be a success on you unless you go up stage and completely balls it up.
Greg, that is really a possibility, to be
no,
honest
I'm
with
joking.
You.
How could it not be anything other than a success with you anchoring it?
Will you come, Greg?
I would love to. It's definitely in my wheelhouse. Paul and Charlie are going to perform together. I wonder how often that actually happens, because we have Charlie up here now and again, obviously because he's northwest, if you know what I mean.
Yes, Leitrim,
an amazing. He's a great fellow.
Yeah, he is.
The way he converses and the way he can bring music into
it. And he can tell the story.
It's just amazing. And be so open about his own situation and everything else. But to hear him and Paul, I would go. Just for that.
Yeah. Well, do you know, it's funny.
If that makes sense.
No, 100% with you. And I are on the same page. I know we've only just met.
I was at Ed Sheeran as well, by the way.
So. I love Ed Sheeran. But anyway.
I know, just in case we're...
No. I love Ed Sheeran. Yeah. But anyway, it's funny. I have a little clip of they winning the Eurovision in 1994. And when the audience hear it and they go into the chorus, there's only a VT on the screen. They start singing Rock and Roll Kids. And what I love, what they've done in Killarney, what they've done in Castlebar, is Paul and Charlie sing first two verses, whatever, and then they stop. And it's just, it's magic to hear the voices of the people in the audience just sing a song that won an international competition for Ireland. And that is 29 years ago. And yet, it still resonates.
And in terms of pop songs, there's not many
that you could
hand over to the audience.
No. Nope.
Irish-generated pop songs. Now, there's the old standards, of course, do you know what I mean? But there's not many pop songs do that with.
And I mean, it's just...
The credit where it's due.
It's magic. It's the only VT, I think, that I've ever used in any show, or doing anything, where the audience starts singing, which I do it myself.
Mm-hmm.
They start singing to the VT. But when you have the two guys who won the Eurovision with you, they're getting a great reaction and they're enjoying it.
All right, this is, there's no doubt about it, this is a variety show with a 21st century twist. I'm genuinely of the opinion that variety shows, some of the most popular shows in Britain now are variety shows to all intents and purposes, that it's something that... it's not a thing of the past because the audience didn't want it. It's because someone decided that society had moved on.
Correct.
But we haven't actually.
No, we haven't. No,
and that's a young generation coming through that would also enjoy something like this, because there's something for everyone. It's a buffet of pure and utter talent.
And I think, Greg, and thank you for you've got it. You've got the idea, which is not rocket science, but you've got it because you understand it because of what you do. But this is kind of an event for anybody from 12, 13, 14 to 80. And they will enjoy it. And I would like, I suppose my own little ambition is that they come out of the Clonry Hotel on the 31st of March smiling and having enjoyed a couple of hours with us and made it a special night in Letterkenny.
All right. Listen, I can't imagine tickets going to hang around for too long, to be honest with you. It's the Clonry Hotel, Letterkenny, 31st of March. Tickets available directly from the hotel, clonryhotel.com. And get them now soon because it's a month away.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Marty, thanks so much for calling on.
Lovely.
And
I'm
glad to see everything's going well for you as well.
Thank
because
you,
I think with the stuff you've won through, because you're so well known, it resonates with lots of people.
Yeah.
So if you feel good, people will feel good.
Well,
too, so.
You never, you know, when you lose somebody like your mama, your mama's your mom. And we were very close because we were three only children. I've no brothers, sisters, aunts, or uncles. So, We were great pals and a huge loss, but I think she's with me. I know she would want me to do the Marty Perry because we discussed it. She just would drive you mad going to music events around the place. She just loved dancing despite being in her 90s. So, I hope she's with us and she'll
There's
enjoy
absolutely
it.
No doubt about it. Okay, Marty Morrissey, thank you so much indeed.
Greg,
and
thank
the
you
best
so much.
Of luck with what you're doing.
Thank you.
We wish you nothing but success.
Thank you for having me on your programme.
I
love
it. It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Ask Marty, can you pay at the door with cash? Well, I can't imagine there'll be a ticket available at that point. I understand what you're saying because it ties into our previous conversation. But, as I say, tickets will sell out well in advance of anything being available on the door, I'd imagine, but we'll keep you updated if that situation changes. Greg, can you please mention that the table quiz this month in On Green and Hotel this Thursday, the 2nd of March, is at 9 p.m. It is in aid of parish funds. It's the first one for the parish, so let's make it a good one. Many thanks from Kathleen in Burt. So quiz Thursday, 9 p.m. on Green and Hotel. Re-renewal of driving licences. I've phoned a couple of numbers here as directed but cannot get an appointment. Can you help? Thank you. 0818919090. Not getting through in those numbers. Anyone else having problems with those numbers, let us know. I'll come back to that in the morning, by the way, because I don't want to just mention it at the end and not help resolve it with you. Good morning, Greg. Every country had a pandemic preparedness plan. Lockdown wasn't on them. People need to go to jail for this. 1 in 11 die from obesity, yet they were allowed into pubs and restaurants while healthy people with no ID weren't allowed. Okay. I do understand where you're coming from. And I do understand that people were coerced into having an injection. And I understand the anger in that. I'm not... I consume all different types of media on all different types of issues. So I do understand where you're coming from. We support paying cash at the gate at GEA Games. Thank you. Yes, indeed. Another, read the opening of this private clinic. Are these practices leading to the privatisation of a health service, something like the States? I don't think so. But at the end of the day, you've got a couple of medical professionals who see there are issues and they can make a living out of it. I don't think it's part of any grand plan. I'm not really genuinely sure what the HSE's or local GP's attitude towards it is. I don't know the answer to that question. We can only invite the guests in and ask them questions. But anything presumably that helps to alleviate pressure on GP's or the health service more generally, is that not a positive thing? Obviously, though, it comes down to that if you have money, you've got better access to health treatment. I'm not a fan of that, to be honest with you. I think we should all be treated equally. I don't think a mum with a sick child who's got a few quid and can go in and get medicine straight away, I'm not 100% comfortable with another mum with a sick child who can't go and get that medicine because they don't have money. That's, I don't know what that makes me. I'm not 100% happy with it, but I mean, the service is there for people who have. So, you know what I mean? I don't think the service shouldn't be there because everyone can't access it. Do you get where I'm coming from? Not explaining myself great, but I just wish we're all equal. In my view, we're all equal. And we should all have equal access. But if people want to create something privately and offer service to those who can avail of it, well, who's it? Certainly not for me to say there's anything wrong with that. All right, that's where we have to leave it on the programme today.